welcome to the MetPro Method Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and today I am joined by two MetPro registered dietitian and coaches, Bianca Wagner and Travis Wilson. We are going to be discussing continuous glucose monitors. Bianca, Travis, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So excited you're here to have this discussion. And Bianca, I want to start with you. Let's just lay the groundwork. What is a little information about a CGM or continuous glucose monitor?
Yeah, so a CGM is a continuous glucose monitor, and it's a small wearable device that tracks your blood glucose level in real time throughout the day and even throughout the nighttime. So essentially, it measures glucose in the fluid just below your skin. And it sends data to a smartphone or a reader. And really, anybody can use this, but they're primarily used by people that have diabetes or even really anyone who just wants to monitor glucose spikes. But they're gaining a lot of popularity right now. So among non-diabetics, just for gaining insights on the foods that they're eating and what it's doing to their blood glucose level.
Okay. And Travis, can you expound upon that a little bit? If they are for diabetic patients, then why would somebody who's a non-diabetic, like what insights are they getting from that monitoring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. It seems that when we're trying to make progress towards any goal, a big part of it is creating awareness. And I think in today's day and age, we have a lot of data trackers, and this is just another one of those. So it allows the individual to see how maybe certain foods impact them, specifically how it impacts their blood glucose. And so that way they can get a little bit more specificity as far as the food choices that they make, trying to keep their blood sugar a bit more stable throughout the day. It also just gives us some objective data too. We can see maybe how a food makes us feel, but to actually have some data points correlated to that, it just gives us more information so that way we can make better decisions with our nutrition.
Okay. Now, you both mentioned glucose, and I would like to draw a line between that and what we refer to as a glycemic index or glycemic load. So, Bianca, is there a way to pull those two together to help people understand what information they're getting from this?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're different, but they're similar. So glycemic index is basically the ranking of how quickly your body absorbs carbohydrate containing food that raises blood glucose levels. Whereas glycemic load is going to take it a step further, where it's primarily focused on portion size. So glycemic index, you can think of it as quality, and then glycemic load, you can measure that as quality and quantity combined together. So similar, but different.
Okay. And Travis, do you know how to relate that back to, okay, if a client or somebody wearing one of these continuous glucose monitors, they're measuring the glucose, how is that linking to that glycemic index and glycemic load?
Sure. Yeah. So this kind of, if I'm understanding this question, link back to how we structure meals at MetPro, right? It's a couple different things come to mind. We try to recommend carbohydrates that are going to be more complex. They have fiber associated with them, and ultimately they're going to digest a little bit slower. And ultimately, that's going to have less of a spike as far as our glycemic index goes or blood sugar increase with that meal. Not only that, we pair carbohydrates with other macronutrients, our proteins, our fats. And this is also going to slow down digestion and slow down that glucose spike or blood sugar spike and insulin spike. And so we really are thinking about doing this to try to not have big spikes and valleys as far as our blood sugar goes. In doing that, we can keep things a bit more stable throughout the day, and that's going to have implications related to hunger hormones. And so that way we can, again, things a little bit more stable. And when it comes time to the next meal, we're not overly hungry, a lot less likely to overdo it. And furthermore, I think it's really important to understand when we're thinking about nutrition, thinking about food and MetPro specifically, yes, macronutrients are very important. Quantities of macronutrients, quantities of carbohydrates relating to glycemic load. But that's not the only consideration when we're thinking about setting up nutrition successfully. And a big part of that is this: how do we manage our blood sugar, our glycemic index load, and insulin, or how insulin relates to that on a daily basis? It's just going to, again, keep things nice and stable and set us up for success by not overdoing things.
That makes a lot of sense. And Bianca, when we're talking about, okay, we don't want to have these big spikes in blood sugar, why is that something we're looking to avoid on a personal level?
Yeah, so the reason that keeping blood sugar quite steady and sustainable throughout the day, the reason that is so important is because it's going to help optimize energy levels more than anything else. Whereas maybe if you have lots of different blood spikes or sugar spikes, it's going to feel like a roller coaster, right? So if you have two meals a day, two heavy meals a day, you're going to have a really high spike and then you're going to have a really big drop. So if you've ever had that 3 or 4 p.m. crash after a really big meal, it could be because of that. Those are energy levels right there. And we want to keep your blood sugar level just really sustained. And that's part of the reason that MetPro also has 4 to 5 small meals throughout the day to keep that pretty much stabilized. The other reason too is that we want to support fat loss. We want to control appetite. Those are other factors that we think about. If you have 2 meals per day, you're more likely to maybe be hungrier around those meals. Whereas if you have smaller meals throughout the day, what we know is that is going to promote steadier blood sugar levels. So it'll help control your appetite. And inevitably, that will help support fat loss as well.
Okay. And so a follow-up to that, when we're looking at the glycemic load or the glycemic index, and we also specifically look at MetPro, we've got, like you said, we've got five, six meals, depending on what plan one of our clients is on, but we have them divided where there's snacks and there's meals. Now, when it's a snack, we see things like fruit versus meals that we're not necessarily seeing fruit as an option to put into those meals. Is that kind of linking back to this glycemic load and index and those spikes you were talking about?
Yes. So those play a very big role. So fruits are going to be a lot higher on the glycemic index simply because they have more sugar in them. And so typically we want to pair that with a protein or a fat to slow down their absorption and prevent a blood sugar level spike. So main meals, on the other hand, those are going to be paired with complex carbohydrates and proteins and fats. So there's a little bit of a less need to rely on fruits as a carb source because it's just about keeping blood sugar steady to optimize energy levels. So that's typically why we'll put fruits as snacks and then more of your complex carbohydrates as your main meals. Hopefully that makes sense and deciphers it a little bit more.
It does, yeah. And so then that leads me to Travis, a question specifically for you. When we're seeing that there's foods not on a plan, because it sounds like MetPro's put a lot of thought into what's on these plans. I'm just reading between the lines here. And so can I take that a step further and say, okay, if there's something like white rice that I don't see on my meal plan, but I see brown rice, can I just swap those out? Or is that going to have some kind of impact on this glycemic index, this glycemic load?
Yeah, I'm going to give maybe the best and worst answer that any dietitian can give is it depends. I don't know. It's a great answer because it is truthful. And so I think it's important to understand, first of all, that white rice isn't inherently bad. Carbohydrates in general that maybe digest, absorb, and assimilate faster than other complex carbs, they're not bad. However, we do want to be mindful of how we use them. So for most people, most of the time, we probably probably want to stay to those complex carbohydrates like brown rice in this instance. Again, it's just going to keep blood sugars more stable throughout the day for all of the reasons that Bianca outlined. And I would always coach somebody to, if they are curious about this or prefer white rice, to always speak with the coach. And the coach is going to provide that extra guidance, because there are some considerations in which that might be really helpful for that individual. For instance, somebody that might be in a building phase or is actively trying to increase their muscle mass and their carbohydrate intake is really high, and it's just difficult for them to digest a lot of complex carbohydrates throughout the day. Also, there's some sport nutrition instances where we want a little bit faster digesting carbohydrates to support performance. Or maybe somebody has some particular GI issues and they're already getting plenty of fiber in throughout the day, and that additional fiber load is just difficult for them to digest. So again, there's a lot of implications where this is appropriate. But I think for, again, most people, most of the times, erring on the side of more fibrous, dense carbohydrates is probably a great decision. And again, coach can always guide you through what's going to be a best fit for you.
And Bianca, when Travis talks about that, like, somebody might be on a build, so there might be a reason to have something like a white rice. Are there other examples of foods that a MetPro client might not see on a lower carb meal plan versus a higher carb meal plan?
Yes. So in our lower carb plans, you might not see foods like white potatoes or pasta or your starchier vegetables like corn, simply because of the GI index. However, to piggyback off of what Travis was saying, that doesn't mean that these foods are completely off limits, because it's about portion control. Also, that being said, if people tend to travel a lot and they go out to eat a lot and there's not a lot of options, a lot of places don't have sweet potatoes, a lot of places don't have brown rice, and so we can't always get to that. So being able to work with some type of, or a coach that is going to help you with portion control, small amounts of regular potatoes or small amounts of bread can still technically fit into a lower carb plan without derailing progress if needed. But in general, when you have the capacity to be able to control maybe what you're having, then you won't see foods like the starchier foods on the lower carb plans. Whereas the higher carb plans, you're going to see a more variety of lots of different foods, from fruits to whole grain. Your options are really going to open up quite a bit. So the difference lies in really how much carb allowance the client has and balancing it with protein and fat to align with their goal.
And Travis, I get this question a lot from clients. Would you consider the MetPro approach to meal plans medical based? And can you explain why or why not?
In short answer, no, it's not. We are not diagnosing, treating, or curing medical issues with nutrition here at MetPro. In essence, as dietitians, even here, we're not providing medical nutrition therapy. So I think that's really important to know. However, our approach to nutrition might not be too dissimilar from somebody that has diabetes, for instance, and they are trying to control their blood sugar. We really do implement a lot of these sound principles as far as a sustainable approach to nutrition to not only induce weight loss, but to impact our health and our well-being. And so I think that you'll find a lot of similarities. However, again, if an individual is trying to use nutrition to manage any health condition, it's really important for them to both be working with a physician, of course, and then seeking out a dietitian that specifically does clinical nutrition and medical nutrition therapy.
And Bianca, circling back to at the beginning when you were talking about spikes, we both mentioned this about blood sugar spikes, glucose spikes. When we look at something like fat loss as a goal, or even muscle building as a goal, how can this glucose load or glucose impact affect that on a long-term basis?
I love this question because there's so much variety to it. So high GI foods are going to cause quick spikes in blood sugar. This doesn't always necessarily mean a bad thing. For instance, if somebody is doing or has like a muscle building goal and they're doing a very big workout, whether it's endurance or strength training, whatever it may be, you can actually manipulate your high GI food around workouts. So you can time it where insulin basically helps shuttle some of those nutrients into muscle cells. So you can use it to your benefit. However, consistently relying on high glycemic index foods, if you aren't working out or outside of workouts, that can lead to excess hunger and excess fat storage, which is counterintuitive to what we want to be doing here at MetPro. And then your low glycemic foods, on the other hand, essentially what we've been talking about this whole time is it promotes steadier blood sugar levels. So we really want to help control appetite, support fat loss, and just finding the right balance based on the client's goal and activity level.
Very helpful. Okay. Is there anything that you guys wanted to mention that we haven't gone over yet?
Yeah. I think a couple ideas that I have surrounding glycemic index, glycemic load, I think it's important for individuals to understand it's very normal for your body to have glucose or blood sugar spikes after eating and not to be fearful of that. So even if you're wearing a wearable that tracks that data, the goal isn't necessarily to never have that number move. And it's a normal, healthy process that our body is adapted to controlling our blood sugar in healthy individuals, of course. And in addition to that, too, going back to, while maybe a food is higher on the glycemic index or has a higher glycemic load, pairing those foods together, those proteins and the fats with the carbohydrate, is going to have a profound impact on that glycemic index of that food too. So again, I think overarching theme, at least something I know that we all preach to our clients, is food isn't inherently bad. It's how we use it. And as long as we have some intention behind it and have that quality plan and have that awareness piece too, I think that's what's going to help people be most successful, as opposed to just putting a whole group of foods into a section of off limit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Travis said it best. And I think the only thing I would add to that is with the CGM, just take note, we're talking about all types of things in different food, but other things that can also impact blood sugar level are, that we didn't even get into, are exercise and stress and sleep. If we're not getting any sleep and we're stressed out of our minds and we're not exercising, then a lot of foods are going to be impacting blood sugar level. If everything is doing well with exercise, stress, and sleep, then you may have a little bit of a less impact on certain foods versus somebody else. Just some different consideration.
Such a great point. And everybody is different. You guys made me want to add something. That is, everybody's different. You know, somebody eats a banana and might have a really high reaction to eating a banana. Another person might not have as high of a reaction to a banana. And I know I wore one for a while, and it was fascinating to see how much exercise made mine go up. It would spike during exercise. And obviously exercise is not a bad thing. So it's just one of those things that it's information, but it is also important to talk to somebody who understands the big picture when you're using these devices as well. Such great information, guys. Thank you both so much, Bianca, Travis. Before we let you go, let everyone know where they can find you both if you have questions. Bianca, we'll start with you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, fitfoodiecravings_RD. That is a hefty name, but it's the only one there. Follow me, send me a message if you have any questions. We're always happy to help here at MetPro.
I actually don't have any social media whatsoever. I know, right? It's been like over a year. So yeah, if you want to get in contact with me, my email address, travis@metpro.co, would be best.
Perfect. All right. Again, thank you both. And listeners, that's all for this week. You can find all of the episodes for the MetPro method anywhere you get podcasts, or you can go to metpro.co/podcast. Please be sure to follow the show and rate and review. That lets other people know what to expect from the show. And you can also learn more about MetPro at metpro.co. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and I'll be back in a couple weeks with another episode. Until then, remember, consistency is key.